We are holding on some Chavov on the base rather than Mishnah. Okay, we learned from the previous Mishnah, we said that you had a number of cases where Chafa Sa'or for Orla Sa'or is possible. We had the various cases where Chafa Sa'or was done somehow partially or completely the way an Orla Sa'or is done. The blood was put on the wrong part of the Mizbeach, or the Malika was done the way that an Orla is done, or was done the Shem Orla, etc., and vice versa as far as the Orla that was done in the way of a Chafa. So in all of them, the Malika was done, but something about the Korban was done according to the way or having in mind the way, or having in mind the other kind of carbon.
So what difference does it make if it's possible, like whether it's like another carbon or not, it's possible.
The difference is, that's what we're going to say, there's different kinds of stolen. And in particular, therefore, our Mishnah begins, all these cases, even though they're possible, nevertheless, the malika that was done on them is effective because, after all, in and of itself, it was a valid malika. And it is effective that they're not considered a nivlas oif tahar, and therefore that in metamin mebeis ablia, that therefore they are not metamin a person when he swallows them. Whereas had they been considered nevela, then when a person eats them, if a person swallows gzayis of them, he would become tahar. Right. So that prevents that because after all a valid malika was done even though the korban itself is possible. Umoylan behen. And another difference is that that Ne'ilah applies to all of them, all of these cases that we learned in the previous Mishnah. Now, again, Ne'ilah would be, so a korban becomes subject to Ne'ilah from when you maxish it until there comes a point in it, if it's the kind of korban that has the point when it becomes mutter for the kohenim or the owners to eat. Right. So in the case of an Ola, for example, it never has that, because the whole thing gets burned on the Mizeach, therefore Ne'ilah applies to it. Chafas Ha'os, the kohenim eat it. Therefore, there should come a point with the Chafas Ha'os when the Ne'ilah goes away, and that would be chutz. So, but in all of these, since they didn't have a Shas Heter Lakoyanim, since the Koyanim are not allowed to eat them, because whether it's an Ola that was done as a Chafas or a Chafas that was done as an Ola, or the same Chafas or the same Ola, et cetera, as the case may be, either way, it doesn't become a valid Chafas the Koyanim can eat. So in other words, the Chafas, it would have to have that the Malika was done the right way, and that the blood was put on the Mizbeach in the right way, and that it was all done L'shem Chachas and not L'shem Ola, and that it was done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So all of them were Moilin Behem. All of them, the Ila still applies to them after the Malika, or even after the Hazar or Mitzri, because they don't have a Shatet or a Koyanim. There's no time at which the Koyanim are allowed to eat them. Chutz mechatas ha'oif sha'asol l'macha k'maise chatas l'shem chatas. Except for the case, the first case, the case that we had in the Mishnah, where it was a chatas ha'oif, and it was done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, and it was done according to the procedures of the chatas, and l'shem chatas. That one, well, that's the point. That one is completely kosher. That one is kosher. Therefore, Me'ilah doesn't apply to it, because once you have the point, once the Hazar is done, or the Mitzri, if the Mitzri is massive, at that point, it's mutter for the Kohen and Peace. Therefore, Me'ilah doesn't apply to it anymore.
You know that.
No, but that's the point. No, the Mishnah is saying all these various cases that we had in the previous Mishnah, all of them, Me'ilah still applies to them after everything was done, except for the case where it was a Chassas that was done 100% of the Kosher Chassas, where then Me'ilah doesn't apply to it. Okay, maybe obvious, but it still needs to be pointed out, and it helps us remember the fact is that Ne'ilah applies to all the other cases. The point is not so much to say Ne'ilah doesn't apply to this one, the point is more to say that Ne'ilah does apply to all the other ones.
Yeah, that's the point. When you say that the point applies to all the other ones, you don't have to come back.
No, but they, when, what you're saying, B'chulam, you have to clarify that you don't mean Kulam as in all of them, it means all of them except for the one. Yeah, every,
right.
Yeah, well then that's the point. So, okay, fine.
Otherwise, you
right.
Can eat them.
Right.
So that's
okay, but nevertheless, once we're pointing out a rule, we have to point out the exception to the rule. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sure. Maybe you think that maybe Ne'ilah applies if we do something else with it, other than eating it, whatever. Okay. Fine. Now another din. If you have an Olaf Sa'oif where all three things were done, where all three components that can be done as a chatas were done as a chatas, namely it was done lamasa, rather than lamaila as an erla sa'if should be. It was done kemaise chatas, it was done according to the procedures of a chatas, as far as malika and as far as hazav, or mitzri, right? l'shem chatos, having in mind that it is a chatos. Rabbi Eliezer omer moyer limbar. Rabbi Eliezer says that me'ila applies to it because fundamentally it's still an ola. No. Before we were talking about a chatos ta'oif that was done properly as a chatos. We were talking about an ola ta'oif that was done wrongly as a chatos. So it followed all the procedures of a chatos and it was done l'shem chatos, but it was originally designated as an ola. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, well, it remains an ola. Even though it was done as a chatos and in the place of a chatos and so forth, it's still fundamentally an ola. Well, if it's an ola, then obviously the ola still applies to it. Rabbi Yeshua, I'm a more than Rabbi Yeshua says, the ola does not apply to it because, as we'll see in the Gemara, what exactly Rabbi Yeshua holds. But basically, we'll say over there that Rabbi Yeshua holds that it becomes no longer an ola, it becomes a chatos now because it was done, the same chatos. And can might say chatos, and in the lower half of the vast, therefore, effectively, what happens is it becomes a chatos.
And therefore, they're
there. Well, you actually have a machlokes between the Rishonim among that. The Tosfos talks about later the possibility that it may be kosher only insofar as the owner doesn't have to bring another one, not necessarily as far as the Kohenim can eat it. But nevertheless, that could still be considered to that extent that it has shach heter l'Kohenim. Even though the general rule is unless it has a shach heter, then the meilah still applies. We could say this is an exception to the rule because basically, in principle, it is ola for the owner. It's just that the Kohenim can't eat it because after all, it was originally designated as an ola. Therefore, that's good enough to consider it that meilah doesn't apply anymore. That's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it that some of the Mefarshim say, I think Shitim Kovetta brings, is that no, it means that it's completely kosher and the Kohenim can even eat it.
And therefore, there's no
meilah.
It's hard to say. There's no meilah, but the Kohenim cannot eat it.
No, it's the same way as we talked about earlier in the Sechta, for example. We have the case where the blood was placed on the wrong part of the Mizeach, where you said over there that Shmuel said it's pot carbon fossil, but the carbon can't be eaten, but it's still a kosher carbon. So this could be the same kind of thing. It's kosher. It counts as a chatos. And the owner was Yosef his chayv, just the Kohenim can't eat it because it was originally designated as an oil. Fine. Okay. So that's the machlokas. Now the rest of the Mishnah, we're going to go through the debate that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua had on that, and then in the Gemara we're going to go into further and present their debate in greater detail from a Braisa. Okay? It's a bit unusual. I mean, usually the Mishnah just mentions the halachas without getting into the actual debate back and forth that the Chacham had on it. It's usually left to Braisa and for the Gemara, but here we have the Mishnah actually spells out not the machlokas that we already had, but the debate that went on. Why is it that Rabbi Eliezer holds what he says, and why is it that Rabbi Yeshua holds what he says? Okay, I'm Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, I have a logical argument to say that Me'ilah should still apply to it. Uma im chatas shein molen ba l'shma, ma docha chatas, where if it was done l'shma, then Me'ilah doesn't apply to it, because the Kohenim eat it. And yet, but if you change the name, if you passel it by shechting it, for example, as an ola, then you don't burn it on the mizbeach in that case. It's not a kosher chatos. It's completely possible, as we learned earlier in the Mesechta. And the kohenim don't eat it, and therefore me'ilah therefore still applies it because it didn't have shad there. Well then, ola shemolim bal l'shma. Well, an ola where even if it's done l'shma, me'ilah applies it. So if you change the name of it, if you did it as a chatas, having in mind that it's a chatas, and did it as a chatas, according to the procedures of a chatas and so forth, how much more so? Because you're saying, in other words, that a chatas, there's a possibility of it not having the ilah applied to it, namely if it was done properly. But then you find if you were mishana the name of it, if you checked it, if you did melicha as an ola, then it becomes, then the ila doesn't apply to it.
That's so much more for...
Because for an ola, you always have that me'ila applies to it. Me'ila always applies to an ola, even if you did it l'shma. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer argues, therefore, all the more so, if you did it shalo l'shma, then me'ila should apply to it. What are you telling me? That me'ilah shouldn't apply to it, effectively, that it becomes like a chatas. How should it become like a chatas? What turned it into?
If it's not l'shma, how can it say it's an ola?
We learned earlier in the Mesechta that an ola that's shechted shelo l'shma is still a valid ola, it's just not ola l'bailim. It just doesn't count for the owner's claim. But it otherwise is a kosher ola, only a chatas if it's shechted shelo l'shma, or in this case, a chatas for oath that was nimlach shelo l'shma becomes possible. So therefore, we just said, in the beginning of the Mesechta, right, we went through pages upon pages talking about that until Ola was shechted, shalom l'shma, it's still a kosher Ola. It just doesn't count for the Bible.
Right.
However, on the other hand, a chatas that was shechted shelo lishma is completely possible.
Right.
Same thing by oifas. Therefore, by an oila, the oifa was if the avoda was done shelo lishma, it still is an oila. Or views Rabbi Eliezer, it's always still an oila. It never becomes a chatas, and therefore me'ila doesn't apply to it. So if a chatas, you change the name and the ila applies to it, how much more so that an ola, which even when it keeps its original name, is an ola, how much more so when you change the name? And it's still a kosher ola, why should the ila go away from it? On the Rabbi Yeshua, loy. So Rabbi Yeshua says no, because I have a counter argument. Imam ma'ut of a chatas, because yes, you can say that that din applies to a chatas, sheshina shema l'shem ola, where you change the designation of it, and did the avoda of it as an ola, having in mind that it's an ola. The reason why me'ila would apply to it, shekhen shina shmol the davar shiyash be'me'ila. Because what you do, you changed it, so you changed the designation to the type of korban to which me'ila applies. Me'ila applies to it to an ola. Therefore, logically, me'ila should apply. Yeah. Toma ba'ola shekhen shmol the shem chatas. How do you compare that to the other way around, an ola that was altered to be a chatas, shekhen shina shmol the davar shiyash be'me'ila. You're changing it to something which does not necessarily have me'ila, because a pure chatas, a properly done chatas, me'ila doesn't apply. So fine, in this case, the kohenim don't eat it, but still, you have that the name of chatas is something that me'ila doesn't apply to after the malika and after the hazah. So therefore, it's logical to say that the oila that was changed into a chatas gains the din of a chatas as far as that me'ila doesn't apply to it. That's fine. Amalo Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer continues the argument, answers that. I'll disprove your argument just now, because Vade Kodshit Kodshim Shashokan Badorim, consider the case, you have Kodshit Kodshim, an Ola or an Oshem or what have you, that was shechted on the south side. Behemoth, yeah. Shashokan Badorim, if you shechted them on the south side, having in mind the Shokan Lashem Kodshim Kalim, and he shechted them having in mind that they're Kodshim Kalim, having in mind, for example, that they are a Shlomim, Yechiku, prove from that. So here you have, let's say, an oila that was shechted in the place of a shlomim, and having in mind that it was a shlomim, and we'll prove from that, nevertheless, me'ila still applies there. Now what you do, change them into something, you try to change them into something which me'ila does not apply to, because me'ila doesn't apply to a shlomim once it's shechted. Once it's shechted, because eventually you're going to eat it, so what actually happens is the me'ila continues to apply to the emurim, because the emurim are to be offered on the mizbeach. But me'ila does not apply to the meat of the shlamim, to the body of the shlamim. So even though you changed it to something she'en by me'ila, nevertheless, the mo'ilim behen, nevertheless, because this was really fundamentally an ola and did not turn into a shlamim, nevertheless, me'ila still applies to it. So therefore, it says, continues, Rabbi Eliezer, al pitma ala oila. So in that case, don't be surprised about the oila to ois, getting back now to birds. You're arguing that because you changed the designation into a chasas, where me'ila doesn't apply to a chasas to ois, therefore me'ila shouldn't apply to it, but there you have an example. You can consider that example from an oila of a behemoth. So here also, you change this oila to ois into a chasas to ois, or you change it, you altered the designation into a chatas oif, something to which me'ila doesn't apply, she'im alogon, nevertheless, me'ila should apply to it.
If it's like
the korban, it's behemah, yeah. Okay. Omalo Rabbi Yeshua, however, Rabbi Yeshua says, I can disprove that also, loy, no, because that's not a valid comparison. Im amautim, kodshe kodshim, sheshochtim, adorim, sheshochtim, l'shem kodshim kalim, the difference is, if you take kodshe kodshim, and you shechted them in the place of shlomim, on the south side, and you shechted them having in mind their kodshim kalim, the difference is, after all, me'ila does apply to a certain extent to a shlomim, because shekhen shina shmom l'davar shiyash be'isr v'heter. Because after all, you changed it to something in which there is an isr me'ila, as well as a heter me'ila. Namely, the shlomim, some of it is eaten by the owners and the kohenim, that part me'ila doesn't apply to, but some of it is burnt on the mizbeach, and me'ila applies to those parts, to the emurim.
They,
so therefore, if you change an oilas behemoth or a shlomim into, and if you shechted them having in mind that they're a shlomim, and you shechted them on the south side, fine. The reason why me'ila still applies is because after all, me'ila still continues to apply even if it was 100% shlomim. Me'ila still applies to some part of it, the emurim. So therefore, fine. Instead of in this case applying to the emurim, it applies to the whole body of the korban.
And if you shechted on the north side.
If you shechted on the north side, it's kodshe kodshim, yes, me'ila would apply until it reaches, well, it's an ola we're talking about, so me'ila applies until it's burnt on the mizeach, yeah. How are you thinking to compare it to this Ola for Oif, you change it, you try and change it into a chata for Oif, and a chata for Oif is Dabar Shekulei Heter. There's no Ne'ila in it once the Meluka and the Hazar and the Mystery are done. Because at that point the whole thing is eaten by the Kohanim. There's none of it goes on in the Zayach. The only thing that goes on in the Zayach is the blood of it, and we actually learned earlier in the Masechta that blood of Kodshim, Me'ila doesn't apply to them anyway. We had a lingual from a pasuk that Me'ila doesn't apply to blood of Kodshim. So therefore it says Rabbi Yeshua, so you can't compare. A shlomim of behema, there's something in it that Me'ila still applies to, the emorim. So once it applies to that, fine, it can apply to the whole rest of it as well, if it was really an Ola that was shechted, having in mind that it's a shlomim. But here, you're talking about a chata sa'oif where there's no me'ila in it, one, so there's nothing to do me'ila with, because me'ila doesn't apply to any part of it, because the kohen eats the whole thing.
But you don't know it by changing the name.
The point is, Rabbi Yeshua is saying that therefore you have reason to argue that since had it been a real chata sa'oif, a kosher chata sa'oif, me'ila wouldn't apply to it. Therefore, even though now it was an Ola that was changed into a Chassis, nevertheless, by the same logic, Me'ila shouldn't apply to it, because you shouldn't say there's no part of it that you could say Me'ila continues to apply to it if it's a Chassis. Because as a Chassis, there's no part of it that Me'ila applies to. So your comparison with an Ola Behema that was shechted at a Shlomim, says Rabbi Yeshua is not a valid one. Okay. So Tanya, well, the halacha is like Rabbi Yeshua against Rabbi Eliezer, as usual, yes. That's in general, and for one thing, first of all, Rabbi Yeshua outlived Rabbi Eliezer, so therefore he knew what Rabbi Eliezer says and could still argue with it. You have also Rabbi Yeshua represents Beit Hillel, Rabbi Eliezer represents Beit Shammai, and as usual, the halacha is like Beit Hillel against Beit Shammai. Also, you have the fact that Gemara mentions in a few places Rabbi Eliezer Shamuti, which one of the explanations, actually Tosfos in some places, talks about Shamuti can mean he's a Talmud of Shammai, in which case it's the same thing. But another meaning of Shamuti is that he was, as we know, famously know, he was placed in Cherem after the whole story of Tanis Shalachnoi. So in general, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer. In general, the halacha is not like Rabbi Eliezer, especially when it's against Rabbi Yeshua. The halacha is nearly always, if not always, like Rabbi Yeshua in such machlokes. Okay. So, Tanya, we learn in a braisa to expanding on the arguments on the back and forth between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. So the braisa starts off, Amalei Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua. Osham Shoshte but Sophin the same Shlomim Yeshua. This is Rabbi Eliezer continuing the discussion. Or coming in the middle of the discussion, the Braita is adding more details, more arguments back and forth that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua use one against the other. So Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, Osham Shoshte but Sophin the same Shlomim Yeshua. Let's prove my point, and the Ilah still applies in this case, again, an Ola for Oif, where everything was done the way a chatas should be done, l'shem chatas, and k'maise chatas, and in the place of a chatas, etc. And I'm saying Me'ila still applies. I'll prove that from the case of an osham that was shechted on the north side of the Azara, fine, where an osham is supposed to be shechted, but it was l'shem shlomim, but it was done l'shem, having in mind that it's a shlomim, yechiyach, I'll prove from there, sheshinah shmoy, you only have a shinui hashem there, you don't have a shinui of the rest of the details, Umarilin boy, and Me'ila still applies to it. By the way, Rashi points out that you would have to say over here, when you say Umarilin boy, again, an Osham has a point when Me'ila doesn't apply to it anymore because the Kohenim eat it. So what do we mean over here, Umarilin boy? Rashi said we'd have to be talking about before Zrika. After Zrika, again, an Osham is something we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. An Osham is not one of the Korbanos that if you shechted it Shalom the Shmoy, it's possible. It's a kosher Osham, it just doesn't count for the owner's Koy.
But it's a kosher
Osham. The Kohenim are going to end up eating it. Therefore, once you have Zrika is done, then you can't say Me'ila applies to it anymore. When we're saying, when Rabbi Eliezer is arguing Me'ila applies to it, he means before the Zrika. Otherwise, it doesn't fit. Tosfos discusses that you could explain it differently. You could say, Tosfos asks, what kind of a proof is that? After Zrika, there's no Me'ila, and before Zrika, the whole thing, we're talking about the Ola Sa'of over here, we're talking about after Hazar and after Mitzri, before, of course, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that doesn't have a shot, Hetzel, Akhoinim yet. That's the question. So Rashi's explanation doesn't fit. The Tosfos says, Rabbi Eliezer must be going according to his own shita. We learned at the beginning of the Sefer that when we said a chatas and a pesach that was shechted shaloi l'shmoi apostle, Rabbi Eliezer said also an osham. Rabbi Eliezer is following his opinion. He's saying, well, by the same logic, an osham that was shechted shaloi l'shmoi is actually possible, not just that it's kosher but doesn't count for the owner. It's actually possible.
It doesn't have shata kosher
because the kohenim can't eat it because it becomes possible. So in that sense, it's life. So in that sense, it's life a chatas that was shechted shaloi l'shmoi, right? And therefore, Me'ilah still applies there. So don't be so surprised about an Ola. That even though you change the designation of it, that Me'ilah should still apply to it. So therefore, that's the thing. The same way as he argued in the Mishnah, that you can prove from an Ola that was shechted as a Shlomim. So the same way he's saying over here, you can prove from an Oshim that was shechted as a Shlomim, but it was shechted on the proper side of the Azara, but it's still shechted as a Shlomim. Nevertheless, Me'ilah still applies. The point of Rashi before Zrika, because Rashi is saying that ultimately the korban is kosher. We are saying the korban is kosher, it doesn't count for the owner. That's why we have to say that we're talking about shechting on the north. According to Tosfos, the fact that it was shechted, the shame shlomim, makes it, according to him, possible. But again, according to him, then it doesn't really matter if it was shechted on the north or the south or not. Either way, according to him, it's possible because it was shaloi l'shma. The point is, by the same logic, he can say that, yes, you took an ola, shechted an ola soiv, shechted as a chat, not shechted, did melika on it as a chatasoiv, did the mystery as a chatasoiv, etc. Yes, then me'ilah should still apply. Rabbi Yeshua says, no, you can't necessarily, that's not a valid comparison. Because you're talking about an Osham, we're fine. You yourself are giving the scenario over there. He changed the designation of it. He shechted it as a Shlomim instead of an Osham, but he didn't change the place of it. He still shechted on the north side of the Azorah like he was supposed to. And therefore, so that's different. Therefore, you didn't have enough change in it to say that Me'ilah should go away from it. So it's not really a valid comparison. Toma ba'ola shashina shma v'shina shma. How are you comparing to an ola? We're not only an ola fa'oi, so the chef that was nimlach as a chapa fa'oi. We're not only you changed the place, you put the blood on the mizbeach in the wrong place, but you also, you change the designation, shashina shma, v'shina shma, and you change the place. That's enough of a difference to say, as Gemara is going to say later on, that Rabbi Yeshua says, therefore, effectively, it's no longer an Ola. It now becomes a Chatas. Whereas by the Osham Shech, Rabbi Yeshua. Once everything has changed. What Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, I don't hold this concept that one korban can be transformed into another one. You can have it shechted shaloi l'shmoi, it can be possible, it doesn't count for the owner as the case maybe. Rabbi Yeshua understands, as we're going to say later in the Gemara, that an ola fa'oif can actually be transformed into a chata fa'oif. If it's done, l'shem chata, and in the part of the mizbeach where the chatas is supposed to be done, and it was kemais the chatas, then it becomes a chatas. It's nimshach, as the Gemara calls it later, it's nimshach, it gets drawn from the status of being an Ola to the status of being a Chatas. By Behemoth, you don't have the thing. Because for one thing, by Behemoth, you don't have, there's no difference in the Shita of one kind of, never mind, Sophon, there's no difference in the act of Shita between one and the other, where an Ola for Oif and a Chatas for Oif, you have different kinds of militia, one Simon, two Simonim, as we discussed in the previous paragraph. So by an oif, you're able to, so Rabbi Yeshua says, therefore it's possible to transform it from one kind into another. Whereas by Behemoth, not. Rabbi Eliezer is saying, I don't accept that concept. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that by the Osham, if you only change one thing, you shechted it l'shem shlomim, then it's possible. According to Rashi, it's not that it's possible, it's that we're talking about before Zrika. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Eliezer would say after all it's possible, because shaloi l'shma, and Osham and shaloi l'shma is possible according to him. The point is, though, that all you need is one factor to be changed, and it becomes possible. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is saying over here, by this Ola to'oi, you actually change both factors, or all three factors, whatever, the shame and the makom and the mice, for that matter, yeah. So therefore, then you've transformed it into another carbon. Rabbi Eliezer says, no such thing as transforming into another carbon. Either it's kosher or it's possible. There's no that it's kosher, but as a different carbon.
What happens, according to Rabbi Eliezer, if you change the designation?
If you change the designation, So that's what he said. You took an Oshem, you shefted it as a Shlomim, so he would say that the Me'ilah still applies there. Again, according to Rashi, it means it's a kosher Oshem, because an Oshem that was shefted, Shalom the Shema, is kosher, it just doesn't count for the owner. According to Tosfos, Rabbi Eliezer is saying it would be possible, because he holds that an Oshem shefted, Shalom the Shema, is possible. The point is, though, you don't need any, the point is, there's no way of transforming it into a kosher shlomim. Whereas you, Rabbi Yeshua, are talking about transforming this ola into a kosher shlomim, and therefore saying that, into a kosher chatas, rather, and saying, therefore, that me'ilah shouldn't apply to it. Rabbi Yeshua says, I don't accept that concept. So anyway, so Rabbi Yeshua says the difference is, by the Oshem, again, you're only changing one factor. Fine, I agree that's not enough to transform it into another kind of korban. But by the Ola Fa'of over here, you're transforming everything. And as we'll say later, I hold that that's enough to make it into a different korban, to make it into a chasas. And once it's a chasas, Me'ilah doesn't apply to it, because Me'ilah doesn't apply to a chasas life after Hazah. Okay, continue the discussion. So now we come into an example that we said in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Eliezer says, fine, in that case, I'll prove it from a case where you did change both factors. You did it in the wrong place and with the wrong shame. You took an Oshem, shechted it on the south side, having in mind that it's a Shlomim. Yechiyach, let's prove from that. So you did change the shame, you did change the makom, and yet Me'ilah applies there, even though now, according to your argument, Rabbi Yeshua, it ought to be considered a shlomim, and Me'ilah doesn't apply to a shlomim, because it's eaten by the owners. Nevertheless, Me'ilah still applies there. Again, according to Rashi before Zrika, and according to Tosfos, because it never had a shas hetzel lakayinim, because it's kosher. So don't be so surprised about the Ola Fa'oif of our Mishnah. You did change the designation, you did change the location where it was done, and nevertheless, Me'ilah still applies. So I wasn't saying only in the case we changed one detail about the Oshem. I'm talking about even if you change both details, it remains an Oshem. And the dinim of an Oshem applies to it. Which means, therefore, according to Rashi, that it will act as Zrikas Adam, the Kodim can eat it, but before that they can't, and therefore it has Me'ilah. And according to Tosfos, that it will be possible as an Oshem that was shechted Shalom L'Shmoy. So therefore, by the same logic, I can say that, yes, even though this Ola Sa'oif was done as a Chassas and L'Shem Chassas for both factors, nevertheless, Me'ilah should still apply to it as if it was still an Ola, because it is still an Ola. There's nothing that, just because two things were changed in it, doesn't make it into a Chasa. The same way as just because two things were changed into the Oshem, doesn't make it into a Shlomim.
To make it into a
You can't make a behemoth, a korban of a behemoth into another korban. That's really Eliezer's point. So he says about the same thing with birds. You can't make one korban into another. On the Lord of Yeshua, the Lord of Yeshua answers, Loi, Ima Mauta Ba'oshem Shashina Es Shmoi V'Shina Es Mekoyma V'Lashina Es Maitav. Fine, but we have to add a third factor. By the Oshem, okay, you're arguing there's a scenario where he changed the designation and he did it in other words, where he had in mind that it was a Shlomim, and he did it in the wrong place because he did it in the south, but V'Lashina Es Maitav. But he didn't actually do the Maitim with it, and he didn't actually do the Maitim with it any different. He didn't, because after all, the shchita of an Oshem and a Shlomim are exactly the same. The Kabbalah is exactly the same. The Halacha is exactly the same. Even for that matter, I mean, the application of blood to the Mizbeach is exactly the same. They're both Shai and Shein Arba. So there's no possible Shirin Maiser with an Oshem that was done as a Shlomim. So even if you change, with an Oshem, you didn't change the Maiser. So you can't change the Maiser, exactly. Therefore, it still remains an Oshem. Toma v'ola, how are you thinking to compare that to an ola sa'oif? Shashina shma v'es maser v'shina shma, because there he was able to change all three factors. There's the name of it, that before it was supposed to be an ola, and now it becomes, and now he's designated as a chasas. There is the mokum is different, top or bottom half of the mizbeach, and there's a maisim are different, malika of 1:7 versus 2. Of being mavdil or not being mavdil. So there you changed everything. Therefore, you have a reason to argue that now, therefore, it becomes a different carbon, yeah? Okay. So that's your initial answer to that. So thus far the Braisa. Now we're going to analyze, now we're going to see, so what might Rabbi Eliezer have been able to answer to that he doesn't? Omer Rava.
This last case,
Omer Rava, v'neimalei, in that case, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer answer as follows? I can give you an example of an Oshem where there are multiple things changed in it. Ashram
Shashakta,
well, Ashram Shashakta, not the Maisa, but Ashram Shashakta Bajorim, Lashem Shlomim, the Shinui Bailim. How about you have the case where you had in mind that it belongs to a, that's going to be Machaper for a different owner? That, Rashi says, might be considered already a Shinui Maisa. To have in mind, a different Bailim, to have in mind that this Korban that was supposed to be Reuven's Korban is really Shimon's, that could be considered conceivably the equivalent of a Shimon Maisa.
Okay.
And nevertheless, so from the other hand, so even with that though, you would say that it still remains, because by an Ola Chodesh you only have three things. You have Shem, you have Mokum, and you have Maisa. There's no more than three things. No, that's what Rashi is saying over here. That's what Gemara is implying. Rabbi Eliezer should argue that. Fine, but Rabbi Eliezer can still argue that maybe Shuni Bailin is strong enough to be considered like Shuni Maisa. Because what are you doing? You're saying that this Korban is not going to be Mechaper for Reuven. Instead, it's going to be Mechaper for Shimon. That's a very strong thing. That is almost like a Maisa, like as if you're taking it away from Reuven and giving it to Shimon. And nevertheless, that doesn't change from an Ashram into a Shlomim. It remains an Ashram, a Kosher Ashram according to Rashi, a Postal Ashram according to Tosfos, but it remains an Ashram. And therefore, let Rabbi Eliezer argue the same thing by our Ola Fa'of over here. You change it in three ways, but obviously three ways, changing it is not enough to make it a different Korban. Why didn't he answer that? And by the way, Tosfos points out that actually the Gemara could have also pointed out an example with an Ashram where you actually have literally a Shinui Maisa. Namely, Tosfos says, we learned earlier in the Masechta, at the beginning of we said Shinui Bailin, but Tosfos points out is Shinui Maisa. But I'm saying Tosfos is going to say that actually you actually have a case where you could even have a real Shinui Maisa. Namely, we learned at the beginning of Ezel Makotan that you have the special case of an Ashram, or you have the special case of an Ashram Mitzvah, where the blood is actually supposed to be caught by two different Kohanim, one in a keli, like normal, but sprinkle it on the Mizeach, and the other one, a Kohen catches it in his hand, because then he's going to dip his finger in it and apply it to the Mitzvah's ear, thumb, and toe. So there you can have, suppose that somebody did the Kabbalah obliquely, that would be an actual Shinui Maisa. So if they took an Ashram Mitzvah and shechted it on the south side, not like an Ashram Mitzvah, having in mind that it's a Shlomim, not an Ashram, doing the Kabbalah entirely in a Keli rather than partially in the hand, there you have all three factors, Shini Hashem, Shini Rakim, and Shini Maisa, an actual Maisa, not just Shini Bailin, and yet it doesn't transform it from an Ashram into a Shlomim, it remains an Ashram. So, why doesn't Rabbi Eliezer argue to Rabbi Yeshua the same thing should apply to our Ola Sa'if and Chata Sa'if over here? So, as Rava, Mid Loi Ka'om Aloi Hachi, since Rabbi Eliezer does not use that argument, Shmamina, that means, we can learn from that, Nochis Rabbi Eliezer the time is Rabbi Yeshua. It means, therefore, that, not only accepted, but it means that Rabbi Eliezer understood why is Rabbi Yeshua saying what he's saying. Rabbi Yeshua, what is Rabbi Yeshua's underlying premise is that this concept of Meshicha, that it is possible to take an Ola Sa'if and, by changing all these factors, transform it into a Chata. Now, that's the point, in other words. He didn't accept it. He still argued with it, but he understood that is why Rabbi Yeshua is saying what he's saying. So, therefore, he has no reason, therefore, to mention the case of the Shinui Maisa, because, as the Gemara is going to say later on, as Rav Ashi is going to say later on, the fact is, when it comes to the Shechita of an animal, there's no difference between the different kinds of korbanos, as opposed to when it comes to Malika of birds, there's a difference between the Chatas and Oil, between the Chatas and Oil.
Right.
So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say, I understand Rabbi Yeshua is saying the reason why an Oila, the reason why Rabbi Yeshua is saying that Meila won't apply in this case, an Oila that was done Kemaise Chatas, L'shem Chatas, and the reason is because Rabbi Yeshua holds that basically it now transformed into a chatas, and as a chatas, Me'ilah doesn't apply to it. And Rabbi Eliezer will say, I understand that. I realize now that Rabbi Yeshua is saying that, and he can only say that by birds. He would not hold that the thing applies by animals, because by an animal you can't really talk about Shinui Maisa. Because even if you talk about, like Tosfos says, the case where you caught the blood of the Ashram in the wrong way, that's not really enough to transform it into a different kind of carbon.
He's saying that until now he thought that Rabbi Yeshua was talking about behemoths and...
He thought that maybe Rabbi Yeshua is saying the same way as...
Why?
that up until now, we said that why is he bringing poop from animals? And Rabbi Shua is counter-arguing. It sounds like Rabbi Shua accepts the premise that animals cannot be, that it sounds like Rabbi Shua accepts the premise that animals and birds are different, but I can find in each case a reason why the bird is different, because there's more factors that apply to it. Once we got to this last one, though, where Rabbi Yeshua points out that by an ashram, it's not relevant to talk about shuni maisa, as opposed to an ashram by a regular ashram. Right, by ashram, there's no such thing as an ashram of an oif.
Right.
Yeah. Ashram by definition means behemoth. Shlomi mosa, by the way. The only types of kohanim you have from oifas are ola and kasa. So ashram and shlomi, you're always talking only behemoth. Okay, anyway. So once Rabbi Yeshua made that point, that when it comes to an ashram, there's no way to do shinui maisa because the shchita is done the same way, regardless of every kind of korban, then Rabbi Yezer realizes, you know what, it's not that Rabbi Yeshua is saying that animals and birds are in principle the same, but there's practical differences between them. No, Rabbi Yeshua holds, because it's possible to transform the maisa of a bird by doing the malika of a chatas or an oila, as the case may be, and it's also possible to change the other thing. It's possible to change the shame and the mockum. Therefore, Rabbi Yeshua holds that by birds, it's possible to transform an ola into a chassid. Not by animals, because by animals, it's not relevant to talk about that. Once Rabbi Eliezer understands that, he has no reason to mention the fact that by a behemoth, you could find something, you could find a shinui maisa, because he understands now that Rabbi Yeshua would say, it doesn't matter whether by animals you can do a shinui maisa. The fact is, the shchita is no different, and that's the maisa, that's the maisa that concerns us.
Except the violin, could you say it would be different?
But the violin is not a change in the shchita itself. It takes place during the shchita, sure, because he has in mind different violin. But nevertheless, that's not considered an actual shinui maisa, that the shchita was done any differently.
Just now we said shinui violin.
That's Rava was arguing. Why doesn't he do that? But the answer is because Rav Eliezer realizes it's not a question of whether we can define that there's something that can be considered shuni maisa or not. Rav Eliezer now understands that Rav Yeshua is saying the ultimate reason why a bird is different than an animal is because by a bird you have different types of malika, whereas by animals you do not. You don't have different kinds of shita. Okay. And we know this. The Amr of Adaba Abba, because Rav Adaba Abba explained, he said, in connection with this machlokes, Oimer Hoyer Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Yeshua used to say, Oila sa oif shasaw lamasa kmaise chasas shem chasas. So our case over here, you took an oila sa oif, and you did it on the bottom half of the mizbeach, where the chasas oif is supposed to go. You did it according to the procedure of the chasas, and you did it with shem chasas. So Rabbi Yeshua will say, says Rabbi Adar Ba'aba, kivin shem molach was simen echad, once he cut with the malika, once he cut one single simen, which we said before is enough for a chassas, because only by an oila do you need to cut both simonim. Once he cut one simen by the chassas, nim sheches benasif chassas oif. Then it gets pulled away from being an oila, and now it becomes a chassas oif. So therefore, because once one simen was cut, which is all you need for a chassas, in other words, the point is, because he's doing it lamasa, and he's doing l'shem chasa, once he does the type of malika, which is enough for a chasa, at that point, it's become a chasa. If he continues and does the second simen, which normally would be what you do for an oila, doesn't matter, it's already become a chasa. You can't re-transform it.
Both together.
So no, if you're doing both together, then it has to be you're doing it where the oila is supposed to be done. So no. Again, Rabbi Yeshua agrees that it has to be that it's done l'shem chasas and that it's done l'masa. If it was done l'shem oila, if you don't have both of the other factors, Rabbi Yeshua is going to agree that it doesn't become a chasas. To be moshechet, from becoming an oila to becoming a chasas, Rabbi Yeshua says, you need those two things to begin with. You need that it's l'shem chasas, and you need it in the place of a chasas. And once you have those two factors, now when he does only the one simen, at that moment it becomes a chasas. So therefore, so again, the fact that Rabbi Adar Ba'aba said that, this concept that Rabbi Yeshua holds of meshicha, Rabbi Eliezer realized that, and that is why Rabbi Eliezer didn't argue anymore with Rabbi Yeshua, saying that I can find you an example of shuni maisa by an ashram, because the shuni maisa, whatever shuni maisa you can find by an ashram, is not relevant to the fact that shvita is still done the same way. You still cut the two simonim exactly the same way.
Oh.
So the only thing Rabbi Eliezer can argue with Rabbi Yeshua is you, Rabbi Yeshua, are saying because there's a difference in Malika, therefore you have this concept of Mashiach. I don't hold of that concept, Rabbi Eliezer would say. I don't agree that just because it's L'shem Chatas and in the place of a Chatas and the one Simon with Nimrod, that that should make it a Chatas, it still remains an Ola. A possible Ola, but an Ola, yeah. Or not a possible, whatever, an Ola doesn't count, that doesn't count for the owner. The Ola still applies here, in other words, in particular.
But it's still an Ola.
Right. Fine. So the Gemara asks, "Ehochi." Okay, if you're gonna argue like that, if you're gonna say that once you give the malika of one simon, then it makes it, then and it was in the right place and everything, then it becomes at that point it becomes a chatas. Why don't we say the same thing the other way around by a chatas that was done as an ola? Ehochi, chatas the oif nami shasol the maila kamaita ola. So what about? You should argue a chatas ha'oif that was done on the top half of the mizbeach, where an ola is supposed to be done, and it was done to maita ola, it was done according to the procedures of an ola, and it was done l'shem ola, should talk about this ad, you should argue the maita ola means as far as eventually it means the tusim money, but it means also as far as the how the blood is applied to the mizbeach. And he did it l'shem ola also. You should argue by the same logic. Mekim molik v'simen echad. You should argue once he does malika on it of one simen, then when he does the next simen, the second simen, kim moshek v'tehevei ola soif. At that point, it should be transformed into an ola soif by the same logic. Yeah, you should say that it would have been a chassas if he had stopped after the one simen, but here he continued with the second simen, and it is a maila where an ola soif goes, and it is l'shem ola. Why shouldn't it become an Ola? And Rabbi Yeshua apparently only holds the other way around. He holds that an Ola can become a Chatos, but a Chatos can't become an Ola. Why not? Well, that's what we're assuming. So far, the argument was all that an Ola can become a Chatos. Yeah. The Chitema Hochinami, so you're going to say, okay, maybe yes. Maybe Rabbi Yeshua argues in both cases. Maybe he would say that an Ola can be Nimsha. The Gemara is saying now, yeah. Given what you just argued, given the logic, the parallelism that you just argued, maybe Rabbi Yeshua would say, just like an Ola can be transformed into a Chatas, can be Nimshach and become a Chatas, maybe a Chatas can be Nimshach and become an Ola, if it was done L'maila and Tamaita Ola and L'shem Ola, etc. Well, the problem is that Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Rabbi Bana, Rabbi Yechon lived his whole life in Eretz Yisrael. So in Pashas, he learned under Rabbi Bana in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Bana. Whenever it says Rabbi in the Gemara, it means that he had smicha. The real kind of smicha, ish mikish, from Moshe. Yeah, that's the difference between Rab and Rabbi. When we say when an Amorah is called Rab, Rabbi means he got smicha, Rabbi, whatever means he got smicha, Rab means he did. Yeah. And one thing, smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, okay, anyway. So Rabbi Yochanan says, in the name of Rabbana, Kachi Hatsa Shal Mishnah. This is the way that we lay out the Mishnah. This is the understanding of the Mishnah. Meaning, now what does that mean when he says Kachi Hatsa Shal Mishnah? My love, Kachi Hatsa V'Tuloi. L'chora, that means that based on this braita, this is the understanding of the Mishnah. Meaning, no more than that. That Rabbi Yeshua is only arguing on the case of an Ola, again, Kachiyat Salsha Mishnah, in other words, the version of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah as we have it in front of you, is the correct wording. Ola sa'oif sha'asa l'matar kamaite chatas l'shem chatas, where you have the machlokes, implying only that. Ola the chatas, yes, implying Rabbi Yeshua would agree that a chatas can't become an Ola. So that we're back to the question, well, why not? If you're going to say that an Ola can transform to a chatas once he did it l'matar and l'shem chatas and kamaite chatas, then why, once he does the one simon, then why shouldn't it apply vice versa to say that the chatas can be nimshach to become an ola? The answer is no, not necessarily is that what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says kachi atzal shal mishnah. He may mean kachatzal shal kula mishnah. He may mean this is the wording of the entire Mishnah, in other words, that you have to continue the same way as the Mishnah is telling us that Rabbi Yeshua argues about an Ola that was done as a Chatas, but the actual correct wording of the Mishnah should be that he also argues in the case of a Chatas that was done as an Ola. So you could say that Rabbi Yeshua argues on both, for the reason that we just said, for the reason that we argued that based on Rabbi Adaba Abba's thing over here, that once he was molek one simon, which is all you need for it to be kosher as a chatas, then therefore, since it was done l'mata and l'shem chatas, then it becomes a chatas. the same way Rabbi Yeshua presumably would have, apparently would hold. You could say that Rabbi Yochanan means to imply. Because we're only talking about one case. Well, we're meant to understand, according to that. Once we have Rabbi Abba's logic, then we're meant to understand that Rabbi Yeshua would argue in the other case also and say that a chatas can also be nimsha to become an ola. If you did it l'maila, l'shem ola, k'maita ola, and you cut some ropes them up. Yeah. Okay. That's one answer. Rav Ashi says no. You could go back to the original understanding of Rav Yechanan. Kach patzal shal Mishnah, that the wording of our Mishnah is exactly how it is. Rav Yeshua, kach meaning only the one way, only an ola that was done as a chatas, not the other way around. Because Rav Ashi says there's a difference. The shlema ola sa'ov shasal l'masa k'maisa chatas l'shem chatas. Let's consider, when you have an ola sa'ov that was done l'masa on the bottom half of the mizbeach k'maisa chatas, and you follow the procedures of the chatas, and l'shem chatas, and you had in mind it was a chatas, but remember, what do you need for a chatas? You need less than you need for an ola. Kivin d'ho hechsher b'simen echad, since for a chatas you only need one simen to be cut through, for it now to be a kosher chatas, had it been, as a chatas, that's all you need, is one simen.
You had in mind that it was a chatas?
That's the thing, we're talking about it was originally designated as an ola. You did melika having in mind that it's a chatas. You did only one simen, like you do by a chatas. Later on you did hazah and mitzri, like you do by a chatas. You did all of it on the bottom half of the mizbeach. And we're saying, Rabbi Yeshua says it becomes nimshach and becomes a chatas through all that. And again, according to Tosfos, it means fine. The Kohenim can't eat it, but still, it's considered a chatas to the extent that Me'ila doesn't apply. But the Kohenim can't eat it. No, it's kosher, but the Kohenim can't eat it. According to Shita Mekubetzes, the Kohenim can actually eat it. But anyway, the difference is precisely because a chatas needs less than an ola. Because to be machshir a chatas, you only need to cut through one simon. To cut through a ola, you need to cut through both simonim. So therefore, the ola to ola will not
cut completely.
No, we said you have to do really for both. So that's not the point. The point is you do need two simonim. So therefore, the oila to oif l'masa lesser. Now, when it comes to an oila to oif, the fact that you did one simon l'masa doesn't make it no longer an oila. Because to be an oila, you'd have to cut through both the money. So therefore, when you do one simon l'masa, you can't, in other words, what would happen? Let's say, for example, you were doing it, let's say it was an ola, having in mind that it's an ola, but let's say you did one simon l'masa, and let's say you did the melika of one simon l'masa, and then you took it up to the top of the mizeach and did the other half, and did the other simon l'maila. We would argue that we had the discussion yesterday or 2 days ago about whether shahiyah passes, but if we take the view that shahiyah doesn't pass, that there's no, unlike the shchita of an animal, that there's no problem with malika of pausing between one simon and another, so even though there's a pause over here, what you would say is the first simon doesn't count as far as that you did it l'masa and make it a pasul oila, because it was only one simon, you need two simon for the oila. So therefore, by that logic, having done the malika of one simon l'masa does not yet make it no longer an ola. At that point it could still be made into an ola, basically, if you were to take it l'maila, if you were to take it to the top half of the mizbeach and do the other simon. That's what it means, the ola sa'ov l'masa lesa. When it comes to an ola sa'ov, doing the first simon l'masa doesn't mean anything. Therefore, given the molach of simon echad, so now what happens is you did malika of one simon, so it's nimshechet v'nasas chatas oif. So at that point, it hasn't reached the point of being designated as being confirmed as an ola yet, because to be confirmed as an ola, it would need two simonim. So therefore, by doing one simon lamasa, you're able to make it into a chatas. In other words, again, if you were to do it lamasa, but having in mind that it's an ola, then conceivably you could take it up to the top half of the mizbeach, do the other simon, and it would be a kosher oila. So over here, okay, you're doing it l'shem chatas. So what that does is, therefore, that one simon means, effectively we say that one simon has nothing to do with it being an oila, because one simon is not enough to make it a kosher oila, you need both simonim. Therefore, since it's l'masa, and it's l'shem chatas, therefore that's enough to now make it into a chatas.
There's one simon,
therefore that's enough. That one simon makes it into a chatas, because that's all you need for a chatas. Therefore, it's logical that Rabbi Yeshua should say that in that case, it was nimsha at that point and goes from being an ola to being a chatas. But the reverse. Ela chatasos, but when it comes to a chatasos, you can't use that argument in reverse, says Ravashi. Because, one second. Since we said regarding a chatas in the previous perek, we said that a chatas you can do the malika anywhere on the mizbeach. You don't just have to do the malika on the bottom half. You just have to do the hazor and mitzvah on the bottom half. Miki malak v'simen echot ifsala. So if you were to take a chatas oif and do the malika on and do the malika of one simen, having in mind that it's an ola, at that point it becomes possible. Because now at that point you've done the entire malika that has to be done for a chatas, and you did it l'shem ola. Now when you go and do malika on the second simen, yes, it's l'mayla, yes, it's l'shem ola, and so forth. But how do you want to now turn it from being a chakas which was possible to being an ola? It won't work. It's one thing. In other words, yes, because you've already changed. It's one thing to say that it was something that so to speak could be an ola, could be a chakas, and then you do one simon, and at that point you kaveya it as a chakas thereby, because it was lamata and it was a shame chakas. But for a chakas to an ola, that wouldn't work, because all you need for the chakas is one simon. So now what you've done is by doing one simon lamaila, you've confirmed it as a chakas. According to everybody, all you need is one simon by chakas. All it is according to the Rambam.
The Rambam, you need one simon, but if you do both simon, okay.
No, let's not interrupt. I'll get back to that in a second, but wait. Okay. The problem is, Ravashi is saying, if you were to take a chatas and shecht it l'mayla, l'shem ola, and in the place of the ola, as soon as you do the one simon, it becomes now a possible chatas. Because one simon is all you need for a chatas. So now you're going to do the second simon. Malika, obviously. Malika. As soon as he did malika on one simon, it became a chatas at that point. Now it became a possible chatas, because it was l'mayla, and it was l'shem ola. So now what are you going to do? You're going to say that it went from being in limbo to being a possible chatas to being a kosher ola. Can't do that. As opposed to say that it's going from limbo to being a kosher chatas. That you can do. That's why Ravashi says it's more logical to say that Rabbi Yeshua indeed is only arguing a case in our Mishnah, an ola that was shechted l'shem chatas k'maisei chatas l'mata, rather than the other way around. So not like we said that we could, not like we said according to Rabbi Abba Abba's understanding that maybe we could say he's arguing on both. No, there's logical reason to say that he only argues on the one. But as far as what you were saying, Aaron, no, it's not that. What it is like this. We said before that by a chatas you do only one simon, the ain mavdil, and you don't divide the head, you're not mavdil. According to Rashi, if you do both simonim, that's already considered mavdil, and therefore you get malchus for it. According to the Rambam, to be high of Malkus, and for the Korban, according to be high of Malkus, you would actually have to physically separate the head from the body.
Right.
Yeah. But either way, the point is, when it comes to a chatas, you're only supposed to cut one simon.
One simon.
It means one simon, or two simon. But according to the Rambam, what do you mean? You're high of Malkus only if you actually cut through both and separated the head from the body. Okay, so that proves therefore that
one way only.
Rabbi Yeshua argues only that an ola can be transformed, can be nimshach into a chatas, not vice versa. Okay, gufa. So now getting back to what we said before, Omer of Adar Ba'Ava, Omer Hoyer Rabbi Yeshua. We still do accept Rabbi Adar Ba'Ava's basic point, which is that Omer Hoyer Rabbi Yeshua, ola for oif shasal lamata kamaisa chatas v'shem chatas. We said kiven shemolach v'simen echad. Once he does malika on one simen of it, nimshachas v'nachas chatas oif, it becomes nimshach, becomes pulled away from being an ola and becomes a chatas. That basic premise we do accept. We just didn't accept the deduction that we tried to make from it, that maybe he argues on both, because Ravashi points out there's a reason to say there's a difference. But the Gemara says, Toshna, I'm going to bring to you a Mishnah that seems to contradict that.
We have to figure out if this Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yeshua. Right?
We're going to say later, this is a Mishnah from Kinnim. This is a Mishnah we're now going to quote. The Gemara is going to quote over here back to back the three Mishnayas from the last parak of Kinnim.
So what are we trying
we're saying that Rabbi Yeshua apparently holds this concept of Meshicha, that you can take an Ola Sa'oif and transform it into a Chatas Sa'oif, as long as it was done L'mata and L'shem Chatas and K'maisa Chatas.
Right.
But we're going to try to prove from Mishnah and Kinyan. And Kinyan, the Gemara is going to say later on in the Sugya, goes according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Masechta Kinyan, a Sam Mishnah in the Masechta Kinyan is according to Rabbi Yeshua. So if we can prove that a Mishnah and Kinyan contradicts that principle, then it'll mean Rabbi Yeshua doesn't hold that way.
That an
Oilo Sa'ud can transform into a Chafetz.
We proved that
Said that a chatas cannot transform into an oiler. Rav Ashi's point. Rav Adar Bar Abba explains the ultimate reason why Rav Yeshua is saying that the oiler sa'ois that was done as a chatas, the shame chatas, etc., why Me'ila doesn't apply to it is not because it was done as something to which Me'ila doesn't apply, but because it actually becomes a chatas. It actually transformed.
Oh.
It's nimsha.
So right now we're happy with the fact that it was transformed, but
we're going to try to prove that concept of transformation, that concept that Rabbi Yeshua would hold of Mashiach. Right.
So if we can establish that the Mishnah is written by Rabbi Yeshua, we will have proven that an oiler cannot be transformed.
If we can find a Mishnah in Kinyan that implies that an oiler cannot transform into a chatas, then those Mishnayos go according to Rabbi Yeshua, then that would contradict Rav Adar Bar Abba's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua. And we would be forced to go back to what we started the Mishnah with and what we started the Gemara. No, it's not that it can be transformed, but it's because it remains an oiler, but because it was done as a chatas, therefore it has certain of the dinim of a chatas, and Me'ilah doesn't apply to it, as opposed to saying that it was actually transformed into a chatas, where it actually has now the dinim of a chatas.
Okay. So this is the hard part.
Yeah. Now we're going to be learning from Mashiach. Well, Masechta Kinyan is said to be the yeah, but oh, fine. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Chatas lazu v'oila lazu. Suppose you have a case as follows: you have two women who have to bring korbanos of birds. And by the way, Mefoshim explained on Kinyan. Now you have a number of different cases where people bring birds as korbanos. Some of them are men and some of them are women. But the most common case where people are bringing birds as korbanos is women after childbirth. Therefore, the Mishnayos and Kinyan phrase it in terms of women bringing korbanos of birds because that's the most common example. But the same thing would apply if it was men. So, suppose you have a case as follows. You have two women, Rachel and Leah. Each of them, now, let's say, for example, what it is like this. When a woman gives birth, she has to bring two korbanos afterwards. If she's rich, then she brings a lamb as an oila and a bird as a chata. If she's poor, then she brings
whether
she gave birth to a boy or a girl.
A lamb for an oila
and a bird for a chata. Or if she's poor, then she brings up two birds, one for an oila, one for a chata. A pair of birds like that are brought as an oila and a chata together are called a king, which means a nest. And that's why the Masechta is called kin. But it deals with dinim involving nests, involving pairs of birds, most of them. Okay, so suppose you have a case like this. You have, let's say, Rachel and Leah.
Wait a second, is there oila in a chatas? Which one is male, which one is female?
What do you mean? I mean, as far as...
Either?
Well, okay, if you're talking, if she brings an animal... No, if it's birds, it doesn't matter. Birds can be male or female, yeah. If it's an animal, the animal has to be male for an oila, and the bird can be either male or female, yeah. That's neither here nor there.
Oh, okay.
Tamus the Zachar for the Hema and Tamus the Zachar for the concept that you need a Zachar for an Oiler or a Chatas applies only to animals, not birds. Okay. So, let's say you have Rachel and Leah, where one of them has to bring an Oiler and one of them has to bring a Chatas. Now, how is the example of that? Rashi says, let's say, for example, Rachel already brought her Oiler previously. Now she has yet to bring her Chatas. Leah is the other way around. She already brought her chatas, and now she has to bring an oila. Or, for that matter, I mean, you could have other possibilities. You could have, for example, Rachel is rich, and she doesn't have to bring a. She doesn't. She's not bringing a bird. She's not bringing a. Or Leah rather is rich. Rachel, yeah, is rich. She brought an animal as her oila, and she's only bringing one bird as a chatas. Right. So whatever. The different scenarios. You can have scenarios where Rachel only has to bring a chatas, and Leah only has to bring an oila. So what happens then? Let's say, for example, then
each one has to bring two
carbonates. But you can have a case, Rashi says, where each one already brought one of her carbonates. One brought a chatas, one brought an oila. Therefore, they each have between the two of them. They have a chatas and an oila. You have to bring.
How would you know, however, it happened? They could have...
Whatever it is.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, the point is that, now let's say, so what do? They buy a pair of birds in partnership, and they decide, okay, one of them is going to be for Rachel's chasa, one of them is going to be for Leah's ola, and then they gave them to the Kohen. Now, what happens if the Kohen mixes them up? Also stay in Lamaila, if the Kohen did both of them Lamaila, on the top half of them is there, having in mind their own ola, mech the kosher or mech the kosher. Then half of the birds that they gave him are kosher, because one of them was an ola, and therefore it was done as a kosher ola, and the other one is, because the fact is it doesn't matter. If they gave him two birds, it doesn't matter that he did both of them Lamaila. He did both of them Lamaila.
So,
one of them was designated as an ola, one was designated as an ola for Leah, and one was designated as a chasa for Rachel. That's the point. If he did both of them Lamaila, the same ola, so Leah's ola, whichever bird it was done properly, because one of the two birds was Leah's ola, and that's it. Leah is done. Rachel's chasa was done no good, and therefore it's possible.
That's
meaning next to kosher or next to possible.
Right.
On the other hand, and what about also shtey? One second. Well, this expression method. Okay, fine. But we're going to see it. Fine. We're going to get into more complicated cases. But this expression method kosher or method kosher, by the way, is because the Mishnayos over there in Kinnin talk about a wide variety of different cases where sometimes you have many, many different birds. Sometimes you have a whole cage full of birds where it comes out. Let's say you had 10 or 20 or whatever, and it comes out for various reasons, mechtakosher or mechtapotel. So that's the terminology that it uses throughout the Shnayas Kinim, whenever you want to talk about this, that all the, let's say for example, all the olas are kosher and all the chatoris are potel, as it would be in this case, the expression the Mishnah uses for it is mechtakosher or mechtapotel. In this case, in other words, it didn't have to say that. In this case, it could have just said one is kosher and one is potel, but it's using the same terminology as it uses throughout the Mishnah. Yeah, it's a lot of statistics, a lot of combinatorics. Yeah, for that reason, it's a very mathematical Mishnah say. Okay.
Good.
Okay. Stay in Lamasa. What about if the Kohen did both of them Lamasa? Which would be the way a chasas is supposed to be done. Again, Master Kosher and Master Apostle. Then you have the other way around. Rachel's chasas is good, and Leah's Ola is no good because it's on Lamasa. What about Achas Lamasa, Lamaila of Achas Lamasa? What if he did one of them Lamaila and one of them Lamasa, and he doesn't know which one is which? Stay in Stulis, and both of them are possible, because Shani Oma Chasas Korva Lamaila of Ola Korva Lamasa, Ola Korva Lamasa. Because you never know. You know you have bird A and bird B, but you don't know now which one was which. The Kohen doesn't know.
You could either both right or both wrong.
Yeah. That's the point. No, you could also have that both of them are wrong. Therefore,
very good point. Both have to be right or both have to be wrong.
That's true. And actually,
it's wrong all the time.
Because we don't know. And what it means is, hold on. Stay in Stulis means, in the case of the Ola, we don't know whether it was done as an Ola or whether it was done as a Chasa. Therefore, you can't burn it on the Mizeach, it's possible. And the one who was supposed to bring an Ola, which is Leah in this case, is going to have to bring another Ola, because it may have been done possible. As far as Rachel, what she does, same thing. It's possible in the sense that Kohenim cannot eat it, because it may not have been done as a chasas. It may have been mistakenly done as an ola, and they can't eat it after malika, because if the malika didn't make it a kosher to korban, then it's also for them to eat. Even though it's fine, we said it's not matamim beis abliya. We said, but it's still also for them to eat. And therefore, so what's actually going to happen? Again, Rachel is going to have to bring another chasas to oif al hasafas. That one that's brought ala sofik will also not be eaten. That's a special case. You normally can't bring a chasas ala sofik, but a chasas to oif is a special case. You could bring a chasas to oif ala sofik, and that's what Rachel has to do with you. And Leah has to bring an ola to oif ala sofik, which is fine, an ola to oif. Same solace, in a sense, we can't take one of them and burn it on the Mizbeach the way an ola is supposed to be done. We make them solace, right. Because we don't know.
We don't know, right.
That's what it means. Shani Oimer, because we have to say possibly Chasas Korva L'mayla V'Ola Korva L'masa. Why is that relevant to our Sylvia? Because if Rabbi Yeshua holds the concept of Meshicha, Nihi Nami De'Ola Korva L'masa, granted, let's say even in this last case, you had the Ola ended up on the bottom half, so what's the problem? He did it to Maise Chasas, he did it to Shem Chasas, he did it to Lamanda, he Moshech V'Tehebe Chasas Oif. Why shouldn't it be transformed into a Chasas Oif? Why shouldn't we say therefore it becomes a chasas to oif, and and therefore, whichever one was supposed to bring the chatas, Rachel in this case, should be fine, because if it was her chatas that was brought l'masa, then excellent, then it's good, and if it was Leah's Ola that was done l'masa, then it also transformed into a chatas, and good, then she was also yoseh.
One second, you said that only an Ola can become a chatas.
We're talking about an Ola becoming a chatas. We're talking about that, right. That's what we're saying. You know, we have two birds of it. No, hold on. We have two birds of it. One was Rachel's chatas, the other was Leah's Ola. We're saying if the Kohen did one Lamaila and one Lamasa without figuring out which one is which, we're saying both of them are possible mistopic, but we're saying now why should that be so? We should say like this, the one that was done Lamasa, what are the two possibilities? Either it was Rachel's Chasas or it was Leah's Ola. If it was Rachel's Chasas, then good, Rachel is home free. If it was Leah's Ola, the concept of Meshicha should turn it into Rachel's Chasas. And therefore Rachel should still be home free. So what are you telling me, Shtey and Stulas and Rachel are
Chasas?
If it was the chatas, then she's good. And if it was the oila, it became a chatas.
Because they're partners in it. So it's one switch from one mouth to the other.
We said
the oila came to become a chatas. Knew that's Meshicha. So if the oila ended up being brought l'masa, so what's the problem? It became a chatas, so it's now Rachel chatas,
but
she's good.
We did the chatas that was put on the top.
We didn't. Okay. Again, you have two, fine, let's say the chatas of Rachel was put on the top, but the oila of Leah, therefore, was done on the bottom. The Ola of Leah was done on the bottom and becomes Rachel's chatas. That's the question. So either way, one way or the other, Rachel should be good. Either her chatas was brought below, or Leah's Ola was brought as a chatas below and became Rachel's chatas, so therefore we should be good. Why are we saying Shtey and Stulis, and both of them have to bring a new carbonate?
So you said it's a change in value?
Yes. So the answer is, Nihi nami the Ola Korv Lamasa. So that was part of the question. The answer is Amr the Rabbi Yeshua b'chad gavra. Sure, Rabbi Yeshua can say the concept of Meshicha when you're talking within one person. But today gavri mi Omar, would Rabbi Yeshua say the same thing when it's two people? Of course, you can't have Leah's korban transform into Rachel's korban. That's a special case. But if it was all Rachel's korban, sure, then it would be fine. Yeah. So yeah. So that mission does not contradict. So that mission does not contradict Rav Abba's thing, right? Now, Tosfos asked the question. That's a different thing. It's a change of violence can be considered a change of Maisa. But what we're saying over here is exactly, you can't say that one person's korban becomes the other person. She doesn't have a share in this korban. Yes, they bought the two birds in partnership, but that means each one owns one bird. Yeah. Okay, Tosfos asked the question in that case. I mean, that's a fairly obvious thing. And what was the Gemara thinking to even ask the question? Of course, Leah's korban can't become Rachel's korban. Okay, so Tosfos starts with the possibility maybe we could be talking about they made a t'nai, let's say, that in case mine becomes possible, then it should help for yours. And the answer would be that we're talking about there was no such t'nai, but Tosfos says that doesn't really fit with the wording of the Gemara, because the Gemara just said one person versus two people, it didn't say anything about a t'nai. Okay, Tosfos goes on to discuss a number of other possibilities. What's the upshot that it's a matter of Shinri Bailam, and Shinri Bailam topples a chatas. So therefore that's a special case. So it's one thing if it was only a matter of transforming an Ola into a chatas that you can do. But when you add in the factor of Shinri Bailam, then you have a problem. Then you have a problem, and then the Rabbi Yeshua will not say that an Ola can be transformed into a chatas.
Okay.
So there's no.
You can always give the cluster answer that the Gemara is simply going to the first mission of first and putting the same formula on it and it's going to put on
Well, yeah, of course. That's we're going to.
That's my answer for Tosfos.
Oh, no, but that.
I mean, you don't understand the Havamina. There's really not a complicated Havamina here.
No, you still have to understand the wording of the Gemara. Chad Gavra and Shrei Gavra. Shittim Kubetis brings another possibility also that we can be talking about that each one is bringing two carbonas. We're just talking about what happened with these. In other words, they have each. One second. No, but what it means is, in other words, right. So it means that, that's what it can mean. In other words, each one that's one second. each one is each one is higher still. Each one besides this chassis and this oila, each one is not like Rashi said, where each one already brought one of her korbanos. Here we could be talking about where they didn't bring any of their korbanos yet. Right now they're bringing one is bringing a chassis and one is bringing an oila. They have yet later on. Eventually they have a chassis and an oila to bring.
For whatever reason, they
decided to do it this way. So the Gemara is asking, therefore, so in other words, both of them need a chassis, both of them an oila, and that's why the question, that Meshicha should work, therefore, that should help for the chassis, that she's yet chayim. And the answer is yes, but it doesn't work when it's across two different people, because of Shinui Bayim. Okay. So we'll stop over here and we'll continue the discussion. Tomorrow we're going to bring more Mishnayos of Kinim and analyze them in the light of the poem.